Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to the book of Acts. Again, thank you so much for being a part with us today and having a great day coming in. Thank you for all those that invited your family and friends to come and be a part with you today. And some music has been great. Thank the Lord for it. Let me encourage you and move the table to the back today. But we have one more week of our campaign, and it's overtime Sunday, next Sunday, kind of getting back to the theme of football. And so all those tracks and everything in the back as far as to the theme of our campaign, we encourage you to go out and take some of those with you today and invite others to be a part with us. They'll expire. Our campaign will be over after next week. So if you don't use them up, we'll have used the Lord's money to print paper and do things that, so let's get them out to people. Amen. So if you'll take them with you, I encourage you to do so. It is Roundup Sunday. And so in like manner, I thought the Lord kind of laid a message on my heart. I was searching the scripture and just asked the Lord what he wanted me to bring this morning. And so the title of this morning's message in Acts chapter 13 is The Day the Deputy Got Saved. The Day the Deputy Got Saved. Amen. It preach anytime, but on Roundup Sunday, it's special. Amen. I appreciate this message before, but it also begins to think about next month. We're going to begin our missions month at Landmark, and we have our mission gauge up, and it's going, sends the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We try to pass it on here the best we can and pass the good news of the Lord Jesus. But never forget that we have missionaries, and we're holding a rope for a ton of people around the world that are doing just what we're doing here for folks all around the world and across the nations, and trying to tell them in their language, with their Bible and their language, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to begin a missions conference and a missions month once we finish up our campaign. But the scripture here in Acts chapter 13 begins where we see missions really, really beginning. Paul and Silas, is going to call him Saul here in the beginning of the chapter, and we'll see the transition of his name to Paul, but he had gotten saved, and now he's gotten separated. He's gone off to Antioch, and they're there in the church there, and God begins to work in the church, and that's how God begins. God begins to move in the local church and send people out to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think when people move on to different places, that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes God stirs up the heart of a believer and they say, I got to go and do this. I've got to go do this. This is what God called me to do, and I've got to go do it. And so here we see some of that happening in chapter 13, but we're going to see a deputy specifically. His name is Sergius Paulus, and we'll read the story today, but I want to preach about the day the deputy got saved. I want you to know this morning that when God begins to speak and move, something is going to happen. We see the Holy Ghost speak or really show up in burden. Today, we're in God's house, and you know, I want to pray before we begin because I want to ask God's Holy Ghost, His Spirit, to do the work. You know, all three parts of God had something to do with your salvation. God the Father chose you before the foundation of the world to be saved. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you on Calvary and to purchase back your opportunity to go to heaven with His own blood. That means He took your place on Calvary and offers you the free gift of salvation if you'll just accept it. But the moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of promise comes in and seals you until the day of redemption. That's salvation in a nutshell this morning, but I want you to know that the Holy Spirit doesn't stop working in the life of the believer once He seals you. He continues to move and give direction. Even in that same book of Ephesians, He begins to talk about we all have vocations for Him. That means God gave every one of us different gifts and things that we're good at, and whatever God leads us to do in this life, we ought to be doing it for Him. We ought to be speaking and speaking up in every format of our lives for whose we are. We're God's. We're His Son. The Lord Jesus purchased us. We're His possession. So just as we see Paul and Barnabas are going to be separated and moved by the Holy Ghost to go tell other people about what they had in Jesus Christ. I'm looking at a group of people who many of you are saved, and no matter what your vocation and what it is that God has called you to do in this life, wherever we are, we ought to be speaking up about the great Son of the living God. because of what He's done for us. I can tell you this morning, as I stand behind the pulpit, I was given a vocation as a young man. I was taught to work by my dad. But when the Holy Spirit called and drew me away from what I was doing in this life and called me to preach, it changed my world. And I've never been the same. And I can tell you, I did not realize I worked and I was happy to work. But boy, when I started doing what God had made me to do, it was a different kind of joy and a different kind of peace when I was serving Him the way God wanted me to serve. Let us go to prayer now. I hope you're in Acts chapter 13 by now, and we'll begin to preach the Word of God after we pray. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we come to You this morning, God, and we just thank You for the singing that has happened. And Lord, the offering that was taken and being able to fellowship with Your people, so many encouraged others to come. God, I pray now that Holy Spirit of God, You would do the work that only You can do in the hearts of men. I pray that You would go out and draw near unto Yourself those that need to accept Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit of God, You would speak to the Christian, the one You are already indwell, and I pray that they would be moved by Your direction to do whatever it is that You want them to do in Your will. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 13 will begin in verse number 2. And he begins to say, it says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost," and he says, it said, "the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they were being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." That's John Mark. Verse 6, "And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Alpheus, the sorcerer, for so is his name in interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist, mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." We see in the story this deputy saw his name is Sergius Paulus, and he's a prudent man. He's a man that wasn't going to be quick. Obviously, he had heard about what Paul and Barnabas were preaching about, that they were preaching in Jesus' name, preaching about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He had paid the debt for every man upon the cross of Calvary. But as a prudent man, this would have been one of his first hearings about Jesus Christ. He had heard a lot of different things that could take someone to heaven. There, no doubt there had been all kinds of pagan ways presented to him of how a man could inherit eternal life. But upon his hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again, he said, "I will hear this again. I'm going to call for Barnabas and Saul. I'm going to call them down, and I want to hear from them what they have to say." But on their way, without a doubt, this sorcerer that's mentioned here, we'll call him Bar-Jesus. We know that he has a different name, but it's going to be hard for me to get that S name out during the message today. So Bar-Jesus here is somebody who is a sorcerer of sorts. He is someone who was a Jew, as the scripture reveals, and he did not want to lose his position with the deputy. He didn't want to lose his position of influence. He knew inside himself that there was something different about this Barnabas and Paul. He knew there was something different about this Jesus, and when people believed upon his name, something happened on the inside of them and that they were changed. And he tried to stand between and run interference. And we see that Saul stepped up, didn't he? We see that even this meek and mild-mannered Paul, or Saul in the scripture here as well, we see that he steps up and he withstood him. He tells him exactly what he thinks of him. Before, he was kind to him. They had met him along the way, but this time when he starts to try to stop what Jesus is trying to do and what is right, the right way, we see Paul get upset and he acts. Folks, I just want to tell you, in our country and in our day and age, even as the sheriff already mentioned, all it takes for our country to fall into shambles is for good people to do nothing. We live in a day and age where it would seem that the line has been drawn in the sand between right and wrong. We can almost see that parties are lining up on each side of the line. We can realize that people, and again, if I could say it this way for those of you that are here this morning, it's not about a party line, it's about a moral line that has been written in the sand. And the line was not drawn by man, it was drawn by God. And you will choose which side of the line you're going to stand on, and whether you will stand for the right way or whether you're going to stand for what man says, how he can alter the line that God has drawn. It's just the choice that we have to make in our day. We know that the late hour, I almost preached this morning on the lateness of the hour and the return of Jesus Christ, but make no mistake, Jesus is on his way. If Paul preached about it and wrote about it in the scripture that Jesus was coming again, then without a doubt, Jesus' return is closer than it's ever been. And if it was close in Paul's day and he believed and the people received the good word of God and got ready and made preparations for the return of Jesus Christ for the saved, for the Christian, for his church, if Jesus is coming again back then was shaking the church to a place where they made preparation, should not the church of God in this day and age make preparation for the return of Jesus Christ? We see the story and the day the deputy got saved, and we see in the beginning of the scripture, if you'll look at it with me in the beginning, we see in verse number 2, to be able to begin this process and see other people come to Jesus Christ, there was a separation. Verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto where I have called them. There's a calling, but for someone to be called, there's a separation. In this life, no doubt, sometimes when we surrender to the call of God, there's a separation of some of the things that we used to do. Here, they're a part of this church in Antioch, and they're excited, and they're teaching, and they're preaching, and they're being used mightily within the midst of the church. But the separation that comes is by the Holy Ghost. Not by their own choice, not by, you know, I feel like doing this, but the Holy Ghost of God steps in and says, separate unto me these two men. That board right there is full of men and women who have been separated out. This auditorium and this building, you say, well, is this the whole church? No, all across this ministry this morning, there are people teaching in little kid classes all around. There are people in the nursery. There are people in the teen group. There are people all across serving the Lord, because somewhere along the line, they had somebody step up and his name was the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, separate unto me. Come over here and teach the teenagers. He says, separate unto me. There's a great need in the nursery. Separate unto me. Even now, there are men sitting out in the parking lot listening by radio or on their phone because they're protecting your cars and watching over, because God called them to work security for the church during a Sunday morning to protect the things that God has brought into your life and my life. There are areas of service, and we must listen in for that still small voice of a holy God and say, here am I, Lord, send me. So many times in this life, as I preach the beginning of the message to the Christian, when was the last time you really turned your radio dial in to the Holy Spirit of God and said, God, I'm listening for your direction. God, what can you do with me? Oftentimes we hear him and we hear him beating on the door of our heart at salvation. If you'll just open the door, I'll come in. If you'll just open the door, I'll come in and I'll save you and I'll change you and I'll make you more like my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is knocking at the door of your heart, wanting to come in. But once you open the door, some things begin to change. And then maybe there's a cooling off period in your life. Maybe you've never come to that, but I've been a Christian a long time. I've watched people in the church come in on fire for him. You know, when you get saved, you think everybody ought to hear about salvation because you accepted it. But once you've been saved a while, sometimes you let the world throw the wet blanket on top of you. You know, when you put up a horse, you put a dry blanket on him because you want to draw off the sweat. You want to dry him off. You don't put your horse up wet. That can, you know, you say, well, that's superstition. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I've been around horses a long time, and the worst thing you can do for an old horse is to run them until they're wet and then put them up wet. You dry them off and clean them up. Listen, I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I don't want to go into the barn soaking wet. I want to go home on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go home and see him face to face and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not because of what I've done, but when he called me and gave me a work to do, I separated myself unto him and what he called me to do. I see, second of all, in the scripture that they are sent out. Not only were they separated, but they were sent. You know, God doesn't ever separate anybody out for a task without having a place already picked out to send them. Oftentimes we don't like maybe what it is that we think. We have all these crazy imagination. Sometimes God just wants to send you two doors down to the second grade class, but you're worried he's going to send you to Africa. So you don't want to be separated because you think God's going to send you to Australia. When God just wants you to move a couple doors down and go work with the second graders. Hey folks, I'm just here to tell you, if God is good enough to send his son to die on Calvary, if he was good enough to speak you into existence, if he's good enough to ordain and set everything in order in the universe, don't you think that he knows the desires of your heart and knows what will be best and the best place for you to serve? Yes, he does. Can't we trust him? If we can separate unto him, then we can trust him to send us to the place that we belong. I thank God. Listen, I am not a Floridian. I was not born in Florida. I was not born down here in this place, all right? But I thank God that I've been transplanted in the best county in the United States. Amen. I couldn't have picked a better place. I couldn't have picked a place with a better governor or with a better sheriff or a better county seat over in Lakeland and people that will listen to good reason. Well, all the things that have gone on and all the fear that has swarmed around. Look, God, I could have argued with God and said, you don't understand. I was born on the eastern shore of Maryland. There is no better place to grow a tomato than on the eastern shore of Maryland. Amen. There's no richer ground than where I came from. When they were singing Beulah Land, I knew it had to look something like the eastern shore of Maryland. But when God said, separate unto me, and he sent me here, I didn't want to question him because I knew that he knew what was in me to do. I knew what he made me to do. And I wanted to follow him and to his good word and his good work for me. Folks, I beg you, don't hold back on God. He knows what's best for you. He'll separate you out and he'll send you to the place that you never dreamed could be so wonderful to live and serve and work for him. He not only stopped there, but we see they showed up. And you know what I found in every work of God? If you separate and you get sent somewhere, the devil will send somebody to slow you down. Even in this county, even in this, if I could say this state, even in our country, with great opportunities and better than no other nation on the planet of earth has the freedom to do what we have. But there are still folks that are trying to slow down the good word of God. There are still folks trying to slow down good, righteous, and moral people from doing what would be right for the people of our nation. And we got to wake up and realize that even those that are making those rules, some of those rules will slow down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think that they're just stopping things at the port that so you can't get a couch or you can't get a television. You know, some of them ports are holding up Bibles. Some of those ports in this country that are holding up, there's rules that are being made. Think about just when you think, oh man, they're limiting the amount of trees that can be cut down. We don't just build houses with trees. They make paper. Paper makes Bibles. It's the Word of God that needs to get out around the world. There are all kinds of letters and tracts and things that can be made from things that we don't even think about. So often we boil it down to where it hurt us and where we live. And, oh man, a 2x4 is $13. How about when the person on the mission field can't get a Bible because the Bible costs $13? Hey, folks, I just want you to know that in this day and age, just like there was a person, a sorcerer sent by Satan to slow the man of God, he was there to slow down Paul and Barnabas. He was there to slow down and stop the deputy from hearing about the faith the right way. And we watched that the man of God, what had the man of God done? He said, oh, this is so terrible. There's opposition. We'll just come back a more convenient day. No. He let God handle it. He stood up and bowed up and said, listen, you little devil. He got wound up. He called it like he saw it. Listen, we've had a man of God in this pulpit for 50 years that stood up and called it like he seen it. Now, I can't always get, I don't have gray hair and I don't have much hair left. And so there's things I can't get away with that he said. I sat over here one morning and listened to him say, preach something that was hard and then say, if you don't like it, me and Smith and Wesson will be at the back door to meet you. All right, I don't think I could get away with that yet. When I cross that 70 years of age, maybe you'll hear it come from me. But still, I'm not going to put up with sin. I'm not going to kowtow to anybody that wants to try to stop or slow down the work of God. Don't think that I'm singling anybody out. I'm shooting at sin. The preacher that used to stand in this pulpit would say, when you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that hollers is the one that got hit. And most of the time when you stand up and preach the good word of God, the people that yelp are the ones that got hit. I thank God for the folks that will come up afterwards and say, that was a good message, preacher. You stepped on my toes, but I needed it. Hey, you know how you get separated and sent out of God's word? I mean, by God, is to realize that when the preaching of God happens, that you had a need. And instead of getting offended at what the preacher preached, realize he preached God's word. And he brought God's message to help you, not to hurt you. There'll be a great change in your life when you realize when God makes you uncomfortable, he's not trying to hurt you, he's trying to help you. I've had a few things done at the dentist, and most of the help didn't come until after I had passed the hurt. Nobody wants to sit in a chair and hear something go inside of your mouth. Something is wrong about that, is it not? And then they go open wider. And it's all, you know, I asked them one time, why don't you have straps on this chair? I think it would help me because there are times I want to grab you. I know you're trying to help me, but, you know, maybe you should strap me in before you start to. Amen. You've been there. Hey, folks, I'm just trying to tell you, not only is there a separation of sending out, but there are folks that just like God is sending out his people, the devil is sending others. We have a football campaign, not just a Roundup Sunday today. You know, the devil has his that are trying to defend. While we're trying to go on offense and win people to Christ, there's a devil who's trying to play defense and stop us all the time. And we've got to come to a place in the Christian life that we step up and play harder. This week is our fourth week. It's the fourth quarter of our campaign. Do you know when I played football, the hardest time to really play at the level that we started the game with is when you're down by a few points. And it seems like, I don't know if I'm going to have an opportunity, but you encourage yourself. Listen, I used to encourage myself in my team and in the high school that I played for and with the other guys. But now I'm on a different team. I'm on the Lord's team. I encourage myself in the Lord. I realize I'm on the winning side. If I'll just step up and give it my all, whatever I got left in the tank, I give it all to Him. And I want to play the fourth quarter as strong as I played the first. We have had a wonderful example of our pastor who played all four of his quarters to his greatest ability. Why would I want to do less? Why would you want to do less? Let's step up. We've got one more week. God has given us an opportunity 5 Sundays in October to go into overtime and to serve Him. You know, the greatest thing that could happen is what happened to this deputy. Sergius Paulus saw what happened to when Paul stood up and withstood him and said, "This is what's right." And God acted and blinded that man. He saw and believed because he had heard that Jesus had come from heaven. He had heard that Jesus had died on the cross. He had heard that Jesus rose again on the third day. But when he saw the power of God act in the lives of men, he believed on the faith, the belief system, the right way. That means he put his faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Folks, today, I don't know where everybody's come from. Lots of visitors. But let me tell you, the salvation only comes in believing in Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus your good works. It's not Jesus plus the church. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. If you're here this morning and you've trusted in anything plus Jesus, then you ought to realize that you're probably not saved this morning. If you're trusting in your baptism, folks, I'm not saying this because I want to hurt you. I've already preached that this morning. I want to help you. I want to make sure everyone that's in this building is in one in heaven with streets of gold. And the only way you'll get there is through Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, the deputy got to go to heaven because he trusted in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, why don't you come this morning and receive Him? If you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and let me see it? Amen. Hands all over the room. You're in good company this morning if you're not saved. You can put them down. Thank you so much. Folks all over the room have accepted Christ. If you're here and you've never trusted in Him, why don't you step out? This is going to be an invitation. We invite you to step out and come to the front. I'll meet you in the front and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you stand to your feet with me today? We're going to give you that opportunity. As Brother Burt sings, we invite you to come and receive Christ as your Savior.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not
to rid my soul of dark blood,
to Thee whose blood can cleanse.
would you bow your heads with me this morning? One has come this morning, and just want to ask you, if you're here this morning and maybe God has been speaking to you, you've been attending the church, but you've never, you know this is a good place to be, but you've never been baptized and never joined the church, been coming for some time, we'd love for you to step out. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning and say, separate unto me. Come be a part of my church. Join this good church that preaches the good word of God. If God's speaking to your heart and asking you to do something this morning, I pray that you'll step out and do it as we give you opportunity.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within,
without,
O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as
I have.
Had some folks come. This is your opportunity. Please step out and come.
Sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee,
find,
O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads? Folks have come. We want to pray as the music continues to play. Would you pray that God would do His work in His way as folks have stepped out and come and are being shown through the Bible how they can be saved? Folks have come this morning. We'll have Brother Burt sing another. You could step out and come while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and as Brother Burt sings,
just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb, God, I come. Just as I am, without one